Too much coffee this morning already. We either speak verbally or we think in our heads too much, and it's hard sometimes to hear things. And I was going to rush off. We left off in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, and I was going to go to 14 and 15, and I kept writing notes and going that way, and all I kept hearing is God, in a sense, you know, speaking to my heart, saying, I'm not done yet. So I finally gave in last night and said, okay, what? And maybe this is what God had in store that wasn't there in this verse last week for somebody that's here today. I know it's for me. The word is never preached, I hope, from this pulpit at someone. It's to us from our Lord and Savior. This word is a word that we can apply to today's life. It's not just something in the past that we look at. It's alive, it's living, it's rich, and it will change my life if I let it. So I hope we get that today through what I'm trying to do. So, Father, open our ears, open our hearts. Still the voices of what's outside these walls. Still the voices of the things that have come upon us, Lord, that we've taken upon ourselves. Tried to carry them when it's you who we need to lay them down at your feet. So today, just open our understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Verse 13. But you, or ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So we had some very good instruction, I felt, last week, but I couldn't get past that, and I feel God wants to show us something else about not being weary in well-doing. Some of your translations might say in doing good or whatever it might be. So, you know, let's keep that in our heads. But weariness is something that befalls all of us, isn't it? I mean, is there anybody who, maybe not today, maybe we're charging on, and I don't want to pop that bubble, but we get weary. We did, you know, I think there was a song about getting weary, wasn't that? We get weary just by life that assails us each and every day. And that's what was happening to these believers in Thessalonica, and it's happening to us. So God is trying to speak to me, at least, that when that weariness comes, because it will come, trust me, in some form or shape or another, but when it comes, you and I have a way out of it. We have someone who can lift those burdens that are causing us to be weary if we will apply ourselves to what God has promised. So I started thinking about this, you know, if you're visiting today, I really think strange. Okay, but you'll get to understand to a degree where my attic, what it has up there. I started thinking of this popular video game in Where's Dave? Call of Duty, right? Now, you know, our grandson, who is like almost 30, is still, and Dave's almost 40. It's a video game that people are excited about, the Call of Duty, and you get on there and you give everything you got and you try to learn and everything. But today's text, I feel, that verse is God's call of duty to do good and not to weary. Every one of us has a call of duty in our lives if you are a Christian. And I feel like every day, it's not like I'm waiting for something, or when is God going to give me issue, or when is God going to give me an order, when is God... Every single moment, I feel, of a Christian's life has its duty within that, that God can utilize, that God can make himself known. So today, as we look at that, I hope that sticks in our head about a call to duty, because it's for each one of us, not just for me as a pastor, or Ted and Craig, you know, the elders of the every one of us that are called by his name. He is calling us, and he's not calling us to make our lives a rose petal path. He's not causing us to, you know, have a life that everything goes right and perfect. He's calling us to duty. And through that duty, we are going to bring glory to God one way or the other, whether we like it or not. And, you know, I say that, and that sounds strange from a pastor, but there's a lot of things that God calls me to that I don't like. Do you? And anybody that's ever been in a military situation, a paramilitary situation, it's a thing called duty, whether you like it or not. You volunteered. You're here. You do it. We weren't drafted into Christianity. I said, please. get me out of this. Come and be my Lord. So now I have a call to duty just like you do, if you brought yourself to that point one time in your life. So I want us to ponder this question as we get moving. Why does it seem easier, you know, and I'm speaking from my life, why does it seem easier to weary or get tired or give up than to continually do good as our Lord and Savior commands us? Why is that? And I mean, each one of us is going to be a different answer in a sense, because we're all different, yet we're all of one body. We're different. But why is it so easy to just get weary? To just say, I've had it. That's enough. I'm done. Let somebody else do it. Why is that so easy? It's because it's work to do what God is saying. It's a labor, as we're going to see in His Word, to do what's right. All the rest of this stuff of the world, it just flows along like a sewer. It just goes, you know, and it's going downhill, and it's going to that point where it's going to all collect one day. I think that's why it's easy for us. We can say, oh, we're human. Paul was human, wasn't he? We had Solomon last week. We looked at him. He was human. How do these guys do these things? Because they had a call in their life and they were obedient to it to a degree. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be sinless. I'm not even trying to broach that. God is saying, you got a call. I want you to be obedient to it. So as we look at that, I'd ask you, I don't know how many do word studies are one thing. If you look up one word in the Greek, it's unbelievable where it'll take you. Do a word study, then do a verse study. And if you can, just look at this about wearying. And, Pete, I'm not a Greek scholar, but in the original Greek, listen to how this is stated in verse 13. But yourselves, that's each one of us individually. It's not just the church, but it applies to a church body. But it applies individually to me. But yourself, brethren, you should not by your own choice be weary. Is God telling me that my weariness is a choice that I have today? I think so. So he says, but you yourselves, brethren, you should not by your own choice be weary, continuously doing good God works. That's what these works are. Why has works all of a sudden or over the years gotten a negative connotation in the Christian realm? It's because it's labor. It's hard. We don't want to hear that we need to do anything any more than Maynard G. Krebs did back in the day of work. Do you remember that? Of Gilligan's Island? I mean, I haven't said that in a while. And if you're visiting, that's your first time maybe, but work. Why do I get offended? Why is it negative? Why do I get weary of hearing that I should be doing good works? It's because that's why God saved me. That's why Jesus came into my life, that I might glorify Him. The way my old life was bringing, just nothing to anybody of eternal value. Now God is asking each one of us, I want to use your life to bring eternal good to someone. Don't get weary of the good works that I've got prepared for you. So let's look at well-doing, good deeds towards others as more than works as we have, although they are. It is, they're good deeds done to somebody, but we don't just do it because maybe God's watching. It's going to become us as we enter into this on a regular basis. Works. Do good works. So as a Christian, you think, what does that mean? Knock on doors, doesn't it? Go grab all these little New Testaments, fill that little bag, go knock on doors and tell people you want. That's a good work, but that's not the extent of it. And maybe that's not for you. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that's for you. But it might not be for everybody. But right away when we hear, don't be weary of well-doing, we think, well, you're talking about going and knocking on doors and handing out tracts or going on the mission field. Every one of those it's a good work. But every one of us is not being called in our duty, just like in any kind of organized service, to do that. There are people who sit behind desks. There are people who cook food. There are people who, fix tanks and airplanes and everything else. That might not be your call. So your call to duty is to do what God is telling you through His Word today. And that's what I want to look at, that it's more than that. The commands go much, much deeper. If I could put something in that and go to Galatians. Somebody told me, Doug, you know what Harley it is as it goes by. That wasn't a Harley, if you want to know. Who said that to me this morning? Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. You know, again, don't weary in doing these good works of God that he's got for us. So in verse 7, God bless you, Paul makes this statement to the Galatians through the Holy Spirit. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. So the statement in verse 7 says, you or ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What happened? You know, and I just have myself and you, if you would. Do you remember back in the, you know, I like these kids that are 18 and they say, back in the day, you know. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Back in the day. Back in the day. Do you remember how on fire you were just to do something for God, just to do something for the church, just to do something for somebody else? Hey, you guys ran well. Who hindered you? And you know, that hindrance is, it's not the shepherd. In the Greek, that means who drove you back? Who pushed you back into the recliner? Who pushed you back to where you just want to isolate yourself? Who did this? And Paul and the Spirit say, the Holy Spirit saying, it's not me. So that leaves one other person, Bugface. Who hindered me from doing well? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that leaven is, you know, it's sin is what we're talking about, but just a little bit. What does the word say? A little rest, a little slumber. You know, you put your hands and before long, you're done. And God is asking me at least, and I hope somebody else is speaking to us, just wake up. You've got a call on your life. I've said it too many times and it's a joke. And you're not pew pigeons. And those of us from Jersey and New York, and pigeons sit and go like this. We're more than pew pigeons, every one of us. We're warriors, we're Christian soldiers, we're people in God's command that are saying, why did I send my son, Doug, for you to die if you're just gonna blow off whatever I wanna try to do in your call? I have to question myself on that. So what's this call of duty? What are these works or these good deeds, let's say, that I'm supposed to do? Anybody ever worried about that? God, what do you want from me? I feel like if we keep moving, he'll let us know. But we'll never know from sitting in a chair. We'll never know when we hear the knock on the door, and mine is usually on my head, you know, if we don't open up. We're never going to know it. So I just wanted to show a few things. What are these works? What are these good deeds that we're hearing about that I shouldn't weary in? If you would, turn to John chapter 6. I feel that, you know, so works, I want us to look at it as another way. We're, those of us who are Christians, we are presenting ourselves just like a roll call, just like a call to duty. You know, I had roll call as a cop. You'd stand there, you'd get an inspection, make sure you're clean, make sure everything's in order, give me your mustache is too big, your sideburns are too long, blah, blah, blah. You'd do that, then you'd get an issue for the day. Here's your orders, this is what you're doing today, you're doing today, your sector is doing this. Hey, watch out for this, we had a shooting here, we had this and that. God is telling us what to watch for, what to be careful in, what to do. He's doing the same thing to us as out there in this physical world, that we're more obedient at times to that. So what's my first good work? What would be my first call to duty? And I feel John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which passes, and labor kind of presupposes what? Work? Work is labor, it should be. And this work as a Christian and doing what God has called us to, believe me, at times it is labor, it is work. You don't feel like getting up, you don't feel like doing that, but yet we do it. And God is saying, labor not for meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Then said they, and this is us, so this is the first work that, if you're not in this position, I beg you today, don't leave this building without accepting the sacrifice that God gave us of his Son on that cross. that we might understand what it is, where we're going, what we're doing, what are we fighting against. Then said they unto him, this is our question, isn't it? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Just tell me what you want me to do, God, and I'll do it. How many have been saying that for years? And we've done nothing. You know, just tell me what you want to do. And we're still waiting because he hasn't spoken to us. God answers back, or Jesus answers back and says unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. That's a good work. Don't be weary in that good work. Have you accepted that sacrifice of Christ? Then don't weary in it. Don't just think, oh, what's going on? God, are you listening to, you know, all those things that bring it in. And if you're not saved here today, I mean, I wish I had the power, the authority. You know, somebody said last night, oh, they, you know, you just smack them in the head and, you know, I wish I could just run down the aisle and hit you in the head with my Bible and you were saved. That would be so easy. Just a drive-by Bibling, right? Boom, just hit them, jump out of the car. And it's harder than that. It's a labor. And what he's saying here is, believe on Jesus whom I've sent. Wow, that's the first work in my life. If you haven't, I'm begging you, please accept him. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. I better start spinning through, huh? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Remember, in our head, I kind of go off. What's this work? What is he talking about? Don't be weary in good works. So we just found out that we're supposed to believe on Jesus Christ. That's the first work that you can do, that reception. 23 gives us another command, and this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son Jesus. That word, I mean, there's a whole nother sermon, and I can't go there right now, time-wise. Believe. It means to trust, unquestionably. It means to obey, unquestionably. It means to do everything that he's saying. That's that little word, believe. But as a good work, he is saying that you believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another. There's two, as he gave commandment. This is like a training camp for loving those people that are out there that we look at that are supposedly unloving. Oh, they're undeserving. Oh, they're, you know. God's saying, don't weary in that. I'll do the work. See, some water, some plant. God gives the increase. He's just saying, go out there and don't be weary in doing well. And don't only do it here in church, but you do it at your work. You do it in your family. You do it at the shopping mart. You do it in the mall. You do it wherever you are. There's opportunity galore without getting someone to sign on the dotted line that we would just walk in a way that people would say, what's that about? And if we're ever asked, we can point them towards Jesus, not the seven-step program that got me to be so cool. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, and without that, without accepting Christ, without believing on him and obeying him and loving one another, what we were supposed to go into about admonishing a brother who's walking disorderly, treat him, you know, not as an enemy, but we can't do that without God's love. How short do you get when you speak to somebody who's not doing what you think they ought to do? How easy is it to be angry or approach somebody in a little bit of a harshness, let's say, because that's the way I want to do it? And God's saying, no, is that what I did? Is that the way I approached you in your life? So 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, and that Greek word is lifestyle, having your lifestyle. That means the way who you are, what you look like, how you speak, where you're going, what you're doing, everything about your daily life is part of your call to duty. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles or unbelievers, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your, what does your translation say? Your good works, which they shall behold, because people are watching. Believe me, when they know you're a Christian, people are watching to just, and they're watching the hope you might slip up. They're watching the hope that you might be even a less, you know, a little bit less than they are in a sense, and justify where they are. By your good works, which they shall behold, they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. The whole point of our duty is to bring glory to God, not to anything else, not to fill seats, not to build a bigger facade, not to, you know, do whatever. Our goal, our call to duty and service for God that we shouldn't weary in is to bring Him glory. We might bump into somebody that's going to move, you know, to, where are they going? Australia. They're saved, praise God, but they might go and we'll never see him again, but did you shine some of God's light on that person? You said light today. You made a statement to Shelby about shining. You know, there's a statement, and it means let's go. Let's light it up, right, Walt? Let's light it up. He knows exactly what that means. Well, you know, as Christians, let's light it up. It's a dark town. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, there's, you know, the mountains and the trees and the streams and the moose. You know, it's beautiful. I was stomped by a moose a month ago. you know, it's not beautiful. It's dark. And there's lives that are going to hell. And we're in here laughing and having a good time. And we're weary, but I'm just tired. Let those younger kids do it, you know? Lauren, when are you and Jake? When are you guys going to? You go out there. How are they going to go out there unless they see us? How are they going to go out there unless we're the ones that are, maybe when I pass the baton, I'm going to hold on to it and run a little bit with you if I can keep up. That's what's got to happen. Don't weary in our well-doing. Do I have time for another one?
Absolutely.
Ephesians. Did I finish that one?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, I think I did, right? Oh, my wife said there's a lot. When she says there's a lot more, Doug better pay attention. First Peter, I just want to step back in for 1 second and look at that. I get excited about God's word lately. And, you know, I'm almost, for the last couple of months, I haven't been real excited about God's word. And those, you know, we lost our daughter. Peter lost his wife. Our grandchildren lost their mother. Our great-grandchildren lost their grandmother. I haven't been real excited, but I felt this week something coming back in. Something's happening, and we got to feel that no matter the circumstances. Let's get it going, man. Let's not make this about Doug or Pat or Peter, but that was the one there. Ephesians 2. What are those good works? We're still asking that. I don't know. I don't know in your life, Mike. I don't know what it is. Bring glory to God, I can tell you that. No matter what it is, wherever you are, bring glory to God. I just met you. I don't know what those good works are that God's got for you. All I can say is shine a light and ward. Light it up, brother. You know? Get the other Christians that are out there in the fields and out there in the trenches and the ditches that are getting weary, go help them out. I don't know what God's got for you, but I do know that His Word says something to me, and I pray it speaks to you. Verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. That's a poema. You are God's poem. And I've said this one before. Remember that? I've never seen a, what is it, a something as lovely as a tree. I mean, it's, you know, they're stupid little poems. But these, when He wrote our life, they're not stupid little poems. They're poems that are beautiful. They're poems that by the time you start and the time you end, there's a meaning to it. There's something that's deep and understanding. That's good poetry. Irish poetry is the best. I'll just tell you that right now. Read some of that stuff, you know. You're His workmanship. You're His poem. He wrote a special one for you only. And listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's what Paul is trying to encourage them to. Now, God wrote a poem about you, Della. And the poem wasn't just to show how beautiful Della is. The poem was created that you would do these good works. Every one of us fall into that, which God has before ordained or prepared that we should what? Walk in them. So how am I going to know these good works? I'll pull this together quick. Keep moving. Just keep moving. That word walk, I think, is so important. He's created us for good works that we would walk in them. You can't just sit in a good work. You can't just stand someplace and wait. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep walking. Don't miss an opportunity. Like I said, in our call of duty, there's something every single moment. Don't miss it. Maybe that doesn't mean jump on everybody that comes, but show Christ in some form or some fashion to people. Even if we, you know, unfortunately don't get to speak that, let them see something that they would just have a taste like, what was that? And maybe they'll come back. Missed opportunities. How many opportunities have I missed? You remember back in the 60s and the 70s, there was a commercial. Here's this hippie. And he's standing there and he tells his friends, hey man, would you give me like $300? And the guys are in the car. Do you remember? What for? I'm gonna bottle water and sell it. And the guy starts laughing. Nobody's gonna pay any money for a bottle of water. Then they flip ahead like 20 years. Here's the guy sitting there at a ball game or something, $3 for a bottle of water, and he's got this big smile. And the ending said, ever miss a perfect opportunity? The same commercial. Hey man, give me a couple of, you know, the hippie. What for? I'm gonna sell coffee. Coffee, nobody's gonna pay more than 10 cents for coffee. Here he is sitting at Starbucks with a big smile on his face, paying $8 for a cup of coffee. So missed opportunities is where I was going. How often do we miss our opportunities? Because we're weary. Because we're just, it's a labor, it's a work, it's too much for me to do. Well, you know, the Word of God says that in Acts chapter 10, Jesus went about doing good works. He went about doing good works. Read that one in Acts chapter 10. We're supposed to be going about doing good works while it's still daytime. And even in our weariness, he's saying, do it. Where's my work for me?
Two more.
Two more? I can give two more. Let's start, you know, Jesus went about doing good works. That was an example for us. And we're always looking at the mission field. We're looking at this, that, or the other thing, knocking on doors, blah, blah, blah. All good stuff. But how about my call to duty in my workplace? You might not be able to talk about Jesus openly in your workplace, but if somebody asks you, you can. When they see you sitting over there in the corner of your desk or whatever, and you're throwing stuff across the room and talking about the boss, and oh, I'm sick of this one, is that weariness in a good work? So we have an opportunity in this call to duty in our workplaces. We have an opportunity right here in our church. This is, like I said, this is the feeding ground. This is the sourdough starter. Remember when we were hippies, used to give that to, you know, a can or a little jar. You'd give it to them, what's that? A sourdough starter. And, you know, when I first got here from New York, it was like, sourdough starter. What is this? Good stuff comes out of that stinky old yeast-filled deal. In the stores. You know, here's the biggest one. In our marriage, you have an opportunity to do good and not be weary in well-doing, not to give up, not to say, the heck with it, I'm done, I've had it. God is saying, don't weary, don't weary. Unmarried, same thing. If you're not married, then God has given a special gift. Get out there and start doing the work. Get out there and start doing the work. My family, how many of you have children, grandchildren? Get in there and just show Christ. Just show them the love of Jesus. Just when you pass from this world, maybe that's the only inheritance you're going to leave to those children. These are all good works, aside from what that negative connotation comes in. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. I was asked for two more. This one will go with it. Oh, but Doug, I've been doing that for, how long have we been doing this here, Taffy? 40 years, right? 40 years. I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm 70 years old. I'm shot. It's time for these young kids, these young whippersnappers, to get out there. That sounds wise, doesn't it? I want to go. Where do you want to go? I like the M words. Moab, Maui, but, you know. I want to go there and just kick back. I don't think that's what God's got in store for me. And what he's saying here is, therefore, and this is verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, that second one about not wearying in our call to duty. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You know what that is? Steadfast is a center on the football team. That's a man that's steadfast. He's looking up knowing, I am going to get hit by 600 pounds of sweating humanity any minute, and he takes his eyes off that prize. That's steadfast. That means don't move. Hold fast. Steadfast. Therefore, Doug, put your name in there. Be steadfast. Unmovable. What moves you? What moves you? That's a question only you can ask. Somebody's perfume, somebody's attitude, somebody's language, somebody's belief or not belief. What moves me? What moves you? And God is saying, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There will come a reward one day. We might not see it here. You might never even hear or see anything, but one day somebody's going to walk up to you and say, you know, Howard, I was listening to you and Deb at a potluck one day or someplace, and man, you just, everything you said rang true to me. We might not know that until we get to heaven and that person walks up to us. God is saying, don't be weary right now. Don't be weary in this well-doing, because it will. Just like the real game, Call of Duty. Caleb had a play last week. Call of Duty had a giant convention. And if you played the game and you won, you got stuff. He got a little controller. He got a shirt that said Call of Duty because he had so many points. Well, God's got a reward system too on our Call of Duty. And it's not playing. It's not playing a game. Anybody who thinks Christianity is a game hasn't played for God. This is a lifestyle. This is real. This is a labor. This is a work. It might cost you your very life at one point. And God's saying, just my child, whoever you are out there, don't weary. Don't weary. How are you faring? How are you faring? Don't weary. If you're weary, then let's get to prayer. That's our strength. Our arms are hanging down, our knees are getting a little bent, then get somebody to pray. Ask them to lift you back up. Let's be honest in what is wearying us. Let's be honest about what's causing us to move back, give up a little bit. I think God can work on that. I was asked for two more, but it's 12:15. There's a great one in 1 Corinthians 16. I'm not sure of the verse. And it says that there were those people in Achaia, however that's pronounced, that addicted themselves to the ministry. Woo! That one makes me, what am I addicted to? And it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. Stop that stuff. What am I addicted to? A little TV program? Oh, I couldn't come to prayer my night. I'm watching TV on that one. Oh, I can't come to Sunday morning Bible study. Oh, I couldn't go over and visit that person. After all, it's all the way in Denver I'd have to drive. They addicted themselves to the ministry. Think about addiction, if you would. Addiction starts, right, Doc? A little bit at a time. It's never all of a sudden. It's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little piece, and all of a sudden it becomes us. It's something that is a habitual pattern in our life. And it is a learned pattern, I feel, because we learn to do it and do it over and over. And God is saying, Doug, addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. If I can't minister to you and addict myself to just doing a good work in your life, whatever it might be, however small it might be, I'll never walk out there. I'll never walk out there to the individual who truly needs God's hand, who has to get pulled up from a ditch. So don't weary in your well-doing. That's it.